Welcome, everybody, to the NFL Recap Show. IBN NFL Recap Show. I always miss that. We are in week number 10 with the recap, and it's a fucking celebration. My team won. Joe's team won on the bye week. We finally got a week where both teams won. You can't tell us nothing. Doesn't matter if I only got one pick right on my super contest and Joe had an awful week himself gambling. Doesn't matter. As fans today, we celebrate.
We got to celebrate these rare days. I mean, I think, what was it, the week before is like the first time all year that the Falcons and the Giants had won. So that was a good one for me and Keith. So maybe we're all turning it around here in the second half.
first win in over a year at home, man. Like, I mean, you gotta celebrate. Yeah, Niners are back, baby. If Texas is back, the Niners are back. All right.
Hopefully you're back in a different way than Texas is.
No, hopefully. So we'll start with the Thursday night game. The Miami Dolphins hosted the Baltimore Ravens. And somewhat of a shocker, the Baltimore Ravens lost to the Dolphins 22-10. Ravens fall to 6-3. Dolphins go to 3-7. Story here was Jacoby Brissett got a hot hand. Tua came in and played injured. And I wouldn't say he won the game, but they won the game. The team won the game, but they didn't, like, he came in and motivated them to victory. They were up 6-3. By the time he got in. But either way, 16-point score by the Dolphins in the fourth quarter was the ultimate game changer. Ravens just couldn't get going.
Yeah, this was a pretty rough game. They combined for 8 sacks, 16 punts, and 2 touchdown drives. Mm-hmm. And those were split down the middle for both teams. This was not a very fun game to watch if you liked offense. So yeah, credit to Tua. They did. The one touchdown drive was with him in the game. And, I mean, it turns out they didn't need it, but it gave them some breathing room. This was a sign of what was another pretty bizarre week where the teams you thought were good, a lot of them did not look good this week. Miami, you know, reason for some optimism, at least, in that their defense has played pretty well for a couple weeks straight. They also get the Jets next week. So this could be a nice little run for them to move out of prime draft position in April. But Lamar, I mean, you know, not his best. And the Ravens just aren't going to win a lot of games, even against a team like the Dolphins, if Lamar is not playing that well. That's why people were pushing the Lamar for MVP stuff before that game. If you are a Lamar for MVP person, the good news is pretty much everyone else who's in the MVP conversation was as bad or worse than Lamar was this week.
Listen, stop force feeding Lamar Jackson on the league in passing. It's not his ministry, okay? He can pass the ball. He can. He's not completely awful at it. But 43 passing attempts, you're never going to win in those situations. I really need to go back and look and see how many games where the Ravens had to pass that many times that they actually won. And the only issue I have with that many attempts is that this game was close. I remember the one game where in the playoffs where they played the Titans, and he had a lot of passing yards then, or passing attempts, and that was fine. They were down most of the game. I thought they rushed it a little bit, but they were down most of the game. I mean, this was a 3-point game until the fourth quarter. And then I want to say that the Ravens went up 10-6 at one point in the fourth quarter, and then the Dolphins came back. So I could be wrong. I could not remember it all totally, but either way.
It was a forgettable game.
So. Yeah, for three quarters, it was a 3-point game. If Lamar Jackson's only carrying the ball for 8 times when he's typically carrying the ball 14 to 16 times, there's going to be issues with this team. This team goes like Lamar goes offensively, defensively. Please stop putting Humphreys in man-to-man coverage and key points in the game. Why does this keep happening? How many times do we have to see this guy get beat by these rookies? Or not even rookies, because Jefferson's not a rookie anymore, but anybody that's come in the league within the last 2 to 3 years will dominate you in man-to-man spots if you can't put your hands on him. He's playing man-to-man coverage 7-8 yards off the fucking ball and trying to guard Waddle and Chase and Jefferson, guys that we've seen in space just eat people alive at any level. How much more do you have to see? It's frustrating. This is a shitty loss for the Ravens. They should not have lost this game. And their only saving grace is that everybody else in the division play equally as bad.
I mean, yeah, this was a chance to, you know, stay right on the Titans, have the potential to get that number one seed, and then to really put some room between them and the rest of the division. Yep. Like you said, you know, you stay in the lead because everybody else lost or tied, although tying the Lions should really count as a loss.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's no way around it. I know Thursday games can be especially weird and you're on the road, but, you know, ultimately this is a Miami team that came in with 2 wins, playing their backup quarterback and then eventually their starter with
who's just as good as the backup.
Yeah, with not a huge difference. But yeah, I mean, this is just a bad loss. Obviously, this was not going to be the final bad loss of the week that we talk about, because I don't know if it was quite as crazy as last week, but it wasn't far off.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't that far off. But this game wasn't crazy. Cowboys 43, Falcons 3.
This was the return to normalcy for the Cowboys after last week having the bizarre loss.
Yeah, I mean, just again, overall, just a dominant game by the Cowboys. Scoring 29 points in the second quarter. Jesus, that's 29 points by a team in the second quarter is a lot in an air raid versus air raid game in college. Doing that in the NFL is insane. As a team, the Cowboys only had 114 rushing yards on 37 attempts. So it was 3.1 yards per carry, and they still won by 40 points.
Yeah, it's bad when you could completely wipe out that second quarter and they would have still won by double digits.
That's true.
Yeah, so obviously great for Dan Quinn, the revenge game. This is the second lowest amount of points that a Matt Ryan team has scored in a game. He's been shut out once in his career. This is also the biggest loss for the Falcons in the Matt Ryan era. So nice revenge for Dan Quinn. Matt Ryan, whatever momentum he had, came to a very quick halt here. Dak, I don't know what happened last week. Obviously, Denver, Vic Fangio is a smart defensive coordinator, but Dak was back to what we've seen for the majority of this year. CeeDee Lamb absolutely roasted the Atlanta defensive backfield, which Keith had mentioned on our podcast that he was pretty nervous about CeeDee Lamb. So, yeah, this is just the Cowboys coming back to more of what we expect from them and probably a reality check on if there are any Falcons fans out there who are like, we're the 7 seed halfway through the year, we can be a playoff team. You know, it's not impossible because then, you know, when you get down to that 7 seed, it's chaos in both conferences. But this Falcons team is not going to hang with the top 4 or 5 teams in the NFC as they showed this week.
Yeah. Falcons need a running game, man. So bad. So bad. Cordell Patterson.
And another wide receiver with Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. Yeah. Patterson got hurt. I think I saw earlier today that he should be good to go going forward, but there was some concern there.
They play Thursday, so he might miss this week, but it sounds like that's probably as much as it would go.
Yeah, they got the Patriots on Thursday, so I mean, I will say this, you know, gambling sense says that a lot of times in these situations, you back the home team coming off a terrible loss because most NFL teams are not that bad to get blown out week to week. But, I mean, the Patriots are on the roll, and we'll get to them in a little bit. Just, again, kudos to the Cowboys. Welcome back, Atlanta Falcons. Jags visiting the Colts. Colts won 23-17. I'm telling you right now, I've been saying this, for the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks. The Colts are not as bad as their record says. They're 5-5. And I was saying that when they only had one win. So they're back to 5-5. However, I have concerns. They can't seem to close people out. They get up by a significant amount, and I don't know if it's that they fall asleep or they just stop playing hard. I don't know what it is, but at one point it was 20-9 going into halftime, and nobody scored in the third quarter, and they only scored 3 points in the second half. You scored 20 in the first half, and you only scored 3 in the second half? Are you telling me Urban Meyer makes adjustments?
I'm concerned. It was 17 in the first quarter. So yeah. They had 9 possessions, not count. I believe they had some kneel downs, but not counting that, last 9 possessions of the game, 7 punts, 2 field goals. And a number of those were quick 3 and outs. Like, they were going up and down the field on the Jags. Jonathan Taylor looking like the all now with Derrick Henry out, he's looking like the all pro running back. But yeah, they really just kind of disappeared down the stretch. And I mean, if it wasn't for a strip sack with a minute left, who knows? Like, they could have blown this game.
Yeah, no, they definitely could have. And this was, from a spread standpoint, this was brutal. But from an expectation, I don't expect them to. It's not that they, quote, unquote, barely won, because essentially the Jags lost that game. They had the ball in their hands with the chance to go for the go-ahead touchdown. The issue is that the Colts just seem to not have what it takes to close out games. And if you can't close out games in the AFC, you're not going to be much of anything, honestly. Like, you in their division, they can get by, but we're talking about a potential playoff game. That's not going to cut it, especially right. Where they're
you're
probably
not putting the beat. Jags or Texans. It becomes a problem.
Yeah, and I don't want to blame it all on Wentz, but just like it just seems like it's a team thing, man. Like, they just can't figure it out. 3 points in the second half is unacceptable against a team that you scored 20 on.
Absolutely.
And with that, matter of fact, 17 in the first quarter, like you said, and only 6 points after that. The Jags are one of the worst adjusting teams in the NFL. I don't give a fuck if you PFF or if you Lombardi or whoever else is checking film and things like that. I guarantee you that you will find that the Jacksonville Jaguars are the worst adjusting team in the league. One of the key points to my point on that is when they played the Bengals, and the Bengals literally obliterated them. And it was some quotes even said, or like some hints even, that they didn't change anything at half. And that's pretty much how it's been for them. That's part of the reason why they only have 2 wins. So for you not to be able to score on them in the second half is just pathetic. So
now, to be fair to the Colts, the Buffalo Bills only scored 6 points against the Jags last week. So,
man, to be fair, I feel like you're trying to take a swipe at Josh Allen. On to the next one. You watch it, man. I will get another co-host. There's no other way to describe this game other than an ass whipping. Like, Jesus. Blame Odell, blame Baker's mom, blame Odell's father, blame Obama, Trump, Joe Biden, the gas prices, blame something. But the Patriots beat the hell out the Browns, 45-7. Like, dude, I don't know what happened. What happened in this game? And the worst part was I said that, you know, I like the Browns today, money line. Wrong. Even my 4-year-old said Patriots, and I was like, what do you know? You're four.
Browns, I'm taking his advice from now on, man.
Yeah, he's fucking the Oracle. I know, it's incredible. I'm starting to get a little jealous here. Baker Mayfield sucks. 11-21, 73 yards. You know, we could go in the story about how Odell and Baker's riff is this and that. But at the end of the day, Odell wasn't there for this game. And like I said on the You Got a Minute Fan podcast, the real story is where this team goes, or where Chubb goes, this team goes. And I think that at some point, because D'Ernest Johnson had 5.2 yards per carry, 99 yards on 19 attempts, but like, they just couldn't keep drives going.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, this game is 45-7. The Browns scored on the very first possession of the game. It was 7-0 Browns. D'Ernest Johnson ran for 58 yards on that first drive. So the rest of the way, they held him to 41. Browns never score again. So it really was just one really good drive. And then just absolute domination across the board in this game. The New England more than doubled the Browns' total yardage. They nearly doubled their yards per play, which is even more difficult to do. Yeah, they couldn't get anything going. I believe the Browns took 5 sacks, 3 of them on Baker before he got knocked out of the game. Great play calling from Josh McDaniels, neutralizing the Browns' pass rush. A constant stream of draws, screens, reverses. He was doing everything to limit what Myles Garrett and Clowney could do. Mac Jones continues to play well. He's PFF's highest graded QB since week 5. Celebration for Jacoby Myers. His record for receiving yards without a touchdown ends at 1,560 yards before he scored his first touchdown. So good for him for finally scoring the final touchdown of this game.
That sounds like some shit they drew up just to stop that streak.
I think you're right.
I wouldn't put it past the Patriots.
Especially when Bill Belichick's playing a team he used to coach.
Yeah, you know he can definitely be a tool about that. Technically, he didn't coach the Browns team. Yeah, it was Baltimore, but you know it still has the same colors. There wasn't much thought put into the new logo and color, so I'm sure he's reminded of that every time. Patriots are a team that's been playing some really good football. You kind of have to give them some credit. They are 2-4 at home, so it's probably best if they just stay under the radar and get a couple road games when they hit the playoffs. But I mean, you got to look at them as a potential contender as we sit a little over the halfway mark. Contender for the wild card position and maybe a shot at the division, unless the Bills tighten up. Speaking of the Bills and tighten up, what happened to my boy Mike White, man? Look, you know what? I didn't want to say this on the show, but these people need to they got to stop saying shit about the league and disrespecting the NFL, and they're not doing anything. Like, I should have been the number one pick. That's fine for you to think that, but don't say that out loud and then turn around and throw 4 interceptions, bro. Like, no. Like, you should say things like that before you play, like, a sorry defense or an average defense. Not before you play somebody like the fucking Bills, man. Like,
save that for when you're facing the best secondary in the NFL.
Yeah, save that for when you play, like, the Jags or something. I was saying to Ronnie offline, I was like, look, man, like, it started with Leonard Fournette, Justin Fields, Mike White, and pretty much every person who's ever come into the league and kind of downplayed the difficulty of the league, they literally get egg on their face every time.
It turns out, the NFL's pretty good. unless you're Mac Jones, and then it fucking just all works out. So who knows? But he's been quiet. He doesn't say anything. He just goes about his business. So maybe that's the key. Don't antagonize anyone. They're already elite professionals. So they don't need extra motivation to come stop you.
No, they don't. And it's a league that's forever adjusting for the most part. And it's a copycat league. So think of it like a virus. Like every new game, every new strand is a stronger version until you eventually get a vaccine, which is, I guess, an awful analogy to make right now. But the only vaccinated person is Tom Brady, apparently. Nobody can figure that shit out. But everybody else, man, you got to play by the rules, man. Like, you just got to be humble and do your thing. Like, even Aaron Rodgers, as much as we, like, occasionally take shots to him, he's arguably the second best quarterback of his generation behind Tom Brady. And he never comes out and says shit like this on the regular or anything. Tom Brady doesn't say shit like that on the regular. No. He might say it after the game, but he doesn't say anything before the game.
He probably yells it at people on the field, but yeah, so he doesn't give you the bulletin board material.
Yeah, so just do us all a favor and just shut the hell up, man. Play the game. Be humble. Speaking of womp, 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 Lions versus Steelers, 16-16, and we get the always comical, I didn't know there could be ties, from our guy Najee Harris this year. Yes, the NFL has ties. It's a wild concept that has been around since the fucking league's been around. And yes, we know that you would play and keep playing until however long it takes to win the game. But I don't know if you know anything about concussions, head trauma, and all that studies that they've done over the last decade. That's not healthy for you. Accept the fucking tie. If you don't want a tie, win regulation.
I got curious when I saw that because it does seem to happen every year when we have a tie. I was like, well, how many ties have there been? There's been a tie for the last 5 years. This isn't like some secret.
How especially do you not since know?
They've shortened it to the 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
I think since then there's been a tie every year since that's happened. So it's bizarre. Although at least he's a rookie, because I remember when Donovan McNabb said it and he was in his like 10th season. It was like, wait. How do you not know this?
Yeah, that's true. But in the same breath, like, how do you not know the rules, bro? You done seen ties in your lifetime in the NFL for sure. In order for you to act like you didn't know that you could tie, and especially given the data that you just gave, you would essentially have not watched football in the last 5 years. Which makes no sense because you play football and you went to Alabama. I'm sure Nick Saban has drilled some things in these guys' heads. Not necessarily talking about ties in the league, but at some point you should have come across a situation where you've seen a tie or heard about ties in the NFL.
I mean, I think part of the thing is some of these guys are just not big NFL fans. You know, they play football. It's what they do. Hopefully they enjoy it, but... Yeah, they don't live and breathe football outside of what their job is. The way the rest of us are, you know, watching Red Zone on Sunday Ticket to catch everything that we can. That's just, you know, that's the reality. Which, obviously, they're probably okay being the super athletes making millions of dollars and not knowing about ties.
I've never played a game of soccer in my life, but I know the difference between golden goal and penalty shootouts. I'm not giving him an excuse, damn it. when they said he was sleeping on the floor, he was quick to correct that, but you don't know the fucking rules to the game you play.
I do think, though, again, it's better because he's a rookie and he's a running back. It's much more problematic if you're a veteran, or especially if your QB doesn't know that, because that actually comes into gameplay in those situations where you're running back, he's just going to do whatever he's told by the QB and the coach. So at least it doesn't affect anything, even if it is bizarre that he doesn't know that.
This game sucked. My cousin went to the game, and she was like extra hype, and I felt so bad for her.
She was extra hype.
because she was at an NFL game. That's honestly, she's like a fan. She doesn't care. She's just at a game. I'm watching it on TV, and I'm texting her like, I would ask for my money back, because you probably paid a lot of money for those damn tickets. Mason Rudolph threw the ball 50 times and they only got 16 points. That's crazy. Who are you throwing it to, buddy? 4.8 yards per
catch. Yeah, it was rough.
Oh, man. And then the fumbles. Let's see. 1, 2, 3 fumbles.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth both fumbled in overtime inside of the Detroit Lions 40. So if you want to know why this ended in a tie... That was a big part. Also, Austin Seibert for the Lions. I honestly didn't look up if he got hurt before the game or during the game, but they had a backup kicker going. He missed an extra point for the Lions. And then one of the worst kicks from inside 50 yards I've seen, at least in the last decade. It was like 5 yards short in overtime to win the game from 48, which granted, Pittsburgh in the rain is about as difficult as it gets, but you can't be coming up 5 yards short.
Yeah, and again, it sets up for a wild division. 5-3-1, I think the Steelers are now. And then the Bengals,
5-4, and
5-4.
The Browns are 5-5 now, right?
Yep, and then the Ravens are 6-3 unnecessarily. So,
and then I just want to throw this out there: Jared Goff on plays that were not screens, 8 of 17 for 85 yards in that game. Like, you know, as bad as Matt Stafford's looked the last 2 weeks, there is no one in LA missing Jared Goff. It was this is as bad as it gets. I just feel bad for DeAndre Swift and Najee Harris, who both balled out in this game. Each had over 130 yards from scrimmage, but the rest of their offenses were not very interested in winning this game.
My guy, the fucking robot, Jared Goff. R2D, no, what I call him, C3PO is what I kept calling him. Without a script, man, he's not good. And no. Dan Campbell, he ain't the answer. Bad beat of the week for me. Titans versus Saints. I had the Titans -3. And they gave up a touchdown up 8. Inexplicably gave up a touchdown up 8. I just don't get some of these situations with these teams, man. Like, I don't understand how it can be 3rd and 13 on the 15-yard line and the guy scores. You're playing for the game. Like, it's an 8-point game. So it's still a reachable thing.
Right, they could have tied it up.
And they converted a 3rd and 13. How does that happen, man? And then the coverage was just awful. And he caught the ball, and nobody was even close enough to touch him. Like, it just blows my mind sometimes. I don't understand it, but this is the league. This is what we love, I guess. Titans won again, and that's ultimately what matters to them. Obviously not covering the spread. As long as Derrick Henry's out, they just need to keep piling up wins. Titans have the best record in
the AFC
right now. Yeah, they're 8-2,
which
4-1 at home.
They're now 4-1 in one score games, and this was a classic game where there should have been regression. The Saints should have won this game when you really get it down to it.
Hell no.
End of the first half, Tannehill throws an end zone interception with, I believe, like shit. Right at the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
It's called back. One of the worst roughing the passer calls. And I know there have been a lot of bad ones over the last few years. This is one of the worst ones.
It's perfect.
Titans score four plays later to take the lead at halftime. What happens in the opening kickoff of the second half? Deontay Harris decides, I'm 4 yards deep in the end zone, but I should definitely take this out. Fumbles it. Tennessee recovers at the 19. Score 5 plays later. They're up 20-6. So that's a kickoff return fumble and a bogus penalty spotted them 2 touchdowns. And then my bad coaching decision of the week, Sean Payton, kicking a field goal down 8 with 5.5 to play when he had 4th and goal from the 1. You're down 8. Go ahead and punch that thing in. Instead, they end up scoring later. Need the 2-point conversion. Don't get it. If you score that touchdown, you don't need a 2-point conversion. You score the 2nd touchdown, you win the game. It's just that's weak from Sean Payton. Normally a pretty good coach, relatively aggressive. He blew it there. And yeah, the Titans, it's not always pretty, but they keep winning. And I believe they were the first team ever to win 5 straight games against teams that made the playoffs the year before. And to their credit, none of those 5 teams is like a team that's just completely fallen off the map and is garbage this year. They've played a really competitive stretch over the last since they played that Jets game. It hasn't been pretty, but they just keep finding ways to win, even without Derrick Henry. A lot of credit goes to Jeffrey Simmons and their D-line. Simmons had 2 sacks. They had 4 total. Really pressured Simeon early on in the first half, although Trevor Siemian, I think that's probably as good of a game as you can expect if you're the Saints. He threw almost 300 yards, no turnovers, and no Alvin Kamara. So I think, you know, the Saints, you can come away thinking like, oh, we played tight against the Titans. They're a good team. We're down a bunch of guys. But at the same time, that's kind of a game you need to win. Although maybe they don't, because the bottom of the NFC is trash after you get past those first 5 teams. So the Saints will probably be fine. But this is one where if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to look back and think about how there were 3 key plays here that could have sent this game the other way. And I believe they also had a missed extra point, too. I think that's why they had to go for two. So
this is typical blame the refs.
That was trash. For
the Saints. I'm just saying that's what the Saints' MO is. They lose.
That is true.
They shouldn't lose, and then they blame the refs. So
much like that NFC Championship game, yes, it was a terrible call. Yes, you still could have won the game because that NFC Championship, they gave up a score and then they got the ball in overtime. Mm-hmm. They had their opportunities. Here they had an entire second half to make up that call. And they failed. So, yeah, bad job by the refs, but in no way am I letting the Saints off the hook, although I'm sure some of their fans feel differently.
I'm just gonna disregard your negative campaign to all the things that I needed to cover and say, okay. Speaking of just the twilight zone of week 10, the Washington John Does beat the fucking Buccaneers, man.
This was the weirdest game to me. I'm still a little confused as to what happened in this one.
I can tell you what happened. Tom Brady sucked.
I mean, that was mostly just the first two drives.
He doesn't have any connection with the guys who are originally on this fucking team. If it don't have AB and it don't have Gronk, he's just an average quarterback.
Oh, okay. I don't know. This is going too far here.
I'm just playing. He's not average. He's still good. He's still good. But obviously, he's not comfortable.
He's not comfortable without these other guys.
Yeah, because he's not comfortable with them. Evans doesn't run the routes crisp enough for him, right. I think. And that's part of an issue. And Godwin probably could, but he's so flashy and just wants to go deep. He's also
a little banged up right now.
Too. Yeah, he's just no AB. That's essentially what he needs his route runner. He needs somebody that has good timing, and he needs somebody that he doesn't have to explain every damn thing to, and that's what Gronk is.
to be fair to Brady, I mean, granted, again, two picks on his first six attempts, and he nearly had a third on their next possession. But he throws a 40-yard touchdown pass to Mike Evans just under 11 minutes to play, and they're down four. And he didn't get the ball back until there were 30 seconds left.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
19-play, 80-yard drive that took 10:26 off the clock. Washington converted four third downs and then scored a touchdown on fourth down. So Tampa Bay defense, make one stop. Give Tom Brady the chance.
Hold on. What we're not going to do is sit here and ask anything out of this sorry-ass defense, man. They ain't been able to stop nobody all year. I will never forget Jacoby Brissett throwing for 10 yards per reception when on average it was under 5. He played the Buccaneers, and he looked like a real quarterback. This defense sucks, man. They suck. Taylor Heineke, when he gets his contract, and he gets re-upped, should give half his money to the Buccaneers. Not for real. Like, the two times he's played them is the two times that people love to mention where he's, like, looked good. He should just give them half their money. I don't know. Maybe it's just collusion. They're just trying to hustle Dan Snyder into thinking that Heineke's the answer.
It is as rough as the Tampa Bay defense has been at times this year. You can't let Washington go 13 of 21 on third and fourth down. You can't be doing that. That's just embarrassing.
It's awful. It's awful. Like, I'm disgusted. I have nothing else to say.
That is my broader problem with them, is I don't trust that defense to make the key stops, where AB is going to come back. Gronk, I mean, he'll come back. Who knows how long he'll stay on the field because he's Gronk. But the offense will be fine. It's the defense that gives me question going forward for Tampa Bay.
I don't have any questions about their defense. They suck.
The run defense is good. It's the pass defense that's problematic. And they are a little bit beat up at corner right now.
Man, you're the nicest person ever today, and I appreciate you. These motherfuckers suck, man. They beat up everywhere because they suck. Devin White sucks. Levante David sucks. Antoine Winfield Jr. doesn't suck.
Come on,
man. They all suck.
Devin White does suck in coverage.
You know how I know they suck? They just got beat by the John Does. I was about to call them the Redskins. They just got beat by the John Does. They just
All right. Well, let's keep in mind all the times we could have said that about somebody the last 2 weeks.
But a 10-minute drive.
10-minute drive is
NFL? Like that's inexcusable. Inexcusable, man. Don't they got Todd Bowles as their defensive coordinator? They disrespected my guy, man. It ain't Todd. It's the players. I've seen Todd Bowles take a Jets defense and have them top 10 when he had nobody at quarterback. Fitzpatrick, I think. I mean, I've seen him work some stuff, man. Like he's everywhere he's been, he's had a solid defense. You can't coach these bums, man. They're not good. I would keep Winfield, I would keep David, and I would keep White and Sue and Van. Everybody else can get the hell out of my face. All of them.
The D-line is good. What are you tossing the D-line?
No. I gotta talk. Look, it's
just, Van? Come on.
No, I said Van.
Oh, you did say Van? All right.
Van, my guy.
JPP's been disappointing this year. I will say that.
He got 9 fingers, bro. He definitely got it. I don't even think he got 9. He got like 7. He got
It's like 7.5 or something.
Yeah, he got to go. He got to go, man. The rest of these dudes got to go. Cameron Brate, you got to go. All y'all got to go. Shaquille Barrett, you definitely got to go. Like, it's just inexcusable, man. What a waste of talent on this offense if the only thing keeping them from repeating is that their defense can't stop anybody. Jacoby Brissett, from 4.9 yards per reception to 10.8. Never forget that. Buccaneers defense is trash. Panthers Cardinals. What the hell happened here, too? How they beat us like that? They turn around and lose to the Panthers like that.
How did the Giants smack the Panthers around and then they go and beat the Cardinals?
Cam Newton won't back yet.
Superman. First two plays, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Cam Newton had a passing touchdown and no passing yards, according to Bleacher Report.
that is impressive. It's like Jerome Bettis back in the day, I believe, had 3 touchdowns and -4 yards rushing one time. Yeah. So.
Cam, I'm back. Newton, I'm surprised I didn't see the storyline about how selfish he was for taking his helmet off and getting a 15-yard penalty. I was looking forward to that. Somebody saying
that. That is surprising we didn't see
that. But it's probably because they won by 24. The beneficiary to Cam Newton being back was clearly Christian McCaffrey, who had 13 carries for 95 yards. And then obviously everybody else benefited off of just the energy that he brought to the team. PJ Walker wasn't all that bad, but reports are already out that the Panthers are working Cam with first team reps. He will be the starter going forward, which makes sense. It's fine. I like the energy that the Panthers had with him coming back. I'm interested to see what the defense looks like, and he's playing against the offense looks like with Cam going forward. And they've got a soft competition. It's the John Does again, and they get the John Does at home.
Yeah, just when it seemed like the Panthers were dead in the water, Cam Newton breathed life into them. Just to show the limitations of PJ Walker, although a good game plan by Joe Brady. He was getting the ball out in 2.1 seconds. He didn't have one throw 20 yards downfield. This was all get it out quick, get into the playmaker's hands, especially McCaffrey. He had 161 yards total offense, 10 receptions, 7 runs of 10 plus yards. So this was Christian McCaffrey looking back on his A game. One thing that's been real important for them is just Shaq Thompson is playing all pro level at linebacker for them. He had a sack, a couple pass deflections in this game. I believe I saw that the amount of time it took him to get his sack, it was the fastest sack in 2 years, which I don't know who's timing those, but that tells you how quick he was. When he's played this, I believe it's 7 games he's played, they're giving up 16 points per game. In the 3 games he missed, they're allowing 27 points per game. And that's not just like all the good offenses they faced when he wasn't out there. He was in the Dallas game where they gave up 36. This isn't, you know, he's not perfect. He doesn't change everything. But this defense is a lot better with him in the middle, wrecking havoc. And we saw that for the Cardinals. I mean, you know, there's a reason Colt McCoy's a backup. He looked great last week. Pretty awful this week. I think he was like 10 of 20 with a pick before he got hurt. But, I mean, the Cardinals, The silver lining for them is when Kyler Murray's been out there, the only game they lost was the Green Bay one. And they probably win that game if AJ Green has any idea that the ball's coming to him. So they're kind of the one team where so far when they're full strength, or at least semi full strength, they've been in every game or won every game. So I don't think they should worry too much about this one. But it is a good sign for the Panthers that, you know, they're alive down the stretch. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they make the playoffs as long as Cam stays healthy.
Yeah, let's see what he has next week. I'm curious. I'm willing to give him a shot. And, it, you know, worst case scenario, he definitely brings a lot of energy to the team.
Yeah.
Vikings, Chargers. Vikings won 27-20. I don't think any team gets more of a pass on underachieving right now than the Chargers. I don't know if people are still high on that win against the Chiefs, but they really haven't played good football in several weeks. But it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about that. I had a guy tell me today, yeah, you see Justin Herbert? He's so good. I'm like, what? Did you see him last Sunday? Because he wasn't really that great. Or the week before that. Or the week before that. But
I mean, well, he was good. What was it? Two weeks ago. If I'm remembering right, I think he went off in that one.
He's all right, man.
He's good. If anything, I don't think they're letting him fling it like downfield enough. I think they need to stretch the field vertically.
I'm just pissed because every other quarterback I like, they're like, oh, is he the MVP now? And I want to say that about Justin Herbert. But you know, the shine has worn off of the risk-taking coach.
Never.
Yeah, they got to get back to the basics. Four downs forever. Yeah, they're not winning games. Vikings continue to be the Jekyll and Hyde team, where one week it looks like they would never win a game against a team like the Chargers, and then the next week they're beating a team like the Chargers on the road.
I mean, the only given with the Vikings is that their game will be close. They have played 9 games. 8 of them have been decided by a touchdown or less. They are 3-5 in those games. This team is right on the edge every single week. It doesn't really matter the opponent. So, you know, if basically any game the Vikings play, if the spread happens to be 3.5 even, take whoever's getting the points every single time, just because that's who they are. They can't seem to play anything that's not close. Kirk Cousins, he was great in this one. He's honestly been playing as good as he's ever played this season so far. Justin Jefferson was really the difference in this game. It seemed like every time they needed a key conversion, it was Justin Jefferson roasting somebody. He had 143 yards in this game. Yeah, crazy. I mean, he was the difference, because normally the game plan against the Chargers is just run the ball. Pretty good job by them. 33 runs, 103 yards for the Vikings, but they couldn't stop Justin Jefferson, and that was really it.
Yeah, and I think the key here is just paying attention to the play calling, because, I mean, if you're getting 3 yards a carry, you're not necessarily killing the team with the run. But if you're putting yourself in short yardage situations, then that 3 yards of carry is a game changer because it extends drives. And I feel like that was part of the game plan for the Vikings. Set ourselves up for third and shorts or manageable second and shorts, and being able to kind of have your full playbook at its disposal. And I think it was properly executed. And, you know, again, a game where I'm like, dang, Zimmer and these guys got it going on, man. And then next week, whoever they play this coming week, I'll probably be like, why do the Vikings suck?
That's who they are. And again, just Justin Herbert, average depth of target, 5.6 yards. 50% of his throws short of the sticks. You just got to be more aggressive with Justin Herbert. I mean, I don't know if that's entirely, you know, play calling. Obviously, he makes decisions on where to throw the ball as well, but... Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm Joe Lombardi, you know, just open things up. Maybe Mike Williams is beat up and they don't trust the downfield playmaking as much, but I think they have to be more aggressive on offense.
So we've got 4 games left, but we only have like a few minutes. So out of the Eagles and Broncos, all right, so Eagles, Broncos, Seahawks, Packers, Chiefs, Raiders, Rams, Niners, what was the most surprising game to you?
Probably Rams Niners. I mean, Eagles Broncos, that's another two kind of Jekyll and Hyde teams. I don't know why it took the Eagles so long to figure out that their bread and butter should just be running the ball down people's throats, but they figured that out. So they're competitive now. Seattle Green Bay, Joe Barry came from the Rams. The Rams were great at containing this Seattle offense last year that transferred this week without J.R. Alexander. But I will say real quick on the Chiefs too. Obviously everyone's wants to say the Chiefs are back. They're ready to go. They're awesome. The key to stopping the Chiefs is playing a ton of too high and not blitzing. The Raiders are addicted to cover three. They don't want to play two deep safeties. It murdered them this game. We'll see what happens going forward. I don't expect the Cowboys to be so stuck in their ways. We've seen some growth from why am I blanking on his name?
Dan Quinn.
We've seen some growth this year on him. He's been a little, he's varied the defense more. So I think that'll be interesting. But yeah, Los Angeles. That was surprising. Great job by Kyle Shanahan carving up the middle of that defense with Jimmy G. That's the weak spot. Their linebackers are awful. If you can do it, attack the middle of the field. Great job by him and their offense. The Rams, though, offensively, San Francisco has not been impressive, especially when it comes to defending anything downfield. It's like pass interference after pass interference.
Yep.
They couldn't get stuff going in this game. That was the real surprise to me, especially considering that's back-to-back weeks where this offense has not looked right.
Yeah, the biggest surprise for me was probably the Niners game as well. But I'll talk more about the Chiefs. So I did a lot of research on the Chiefs. I looked at the All-22s for like the last like 7-8 games. And I was going to post something about it, about how they just needed to attack the middle of the field again. That was the thing that was missing out of the offense. And it seems like they just, I guess, came back to it. But it's the same shit I complained about with the Niners. Like, the Niners offense does not work if you don't use motion and a lot of motion to get the right matchups, get the right alignments, because we run off of certain alignments and we need lanes open. So a lot of those toss plays, the lanes open up for cutbacks because of how people are aligned based on the motions. Our passing game, we need motions to open up the middle of the field because that's where we primarily have to attack because our quarterback isn't that good. And the reads are pretty simple, but for some reason they stopped. Like, it was almost like they were trying to read outside in rather than inside out. Our offense needs to be inside out. The same with the Chiefs, who have more capability to go outside and to go more vertical. But when you're seeing two deeps and people are playing you man across the board and giving you that cushion, you need to go underneath. You just have to take what they give you. And in both cases this Sunday, both teams decided to finally do that. And they looked like they used to look. They looked like they did in 2019 when they met in the Super Bowl. Two really dominant teams.
Yeah.
Now, I don't expect the Niners to ever play defense like that again for the rest of the year. But I'll take it if we could. But the Chiefs, I do feel like, could get back to the basics on their offense. And in situations like this past Sunday, they can continue to come out on top because you can't stop them when they run the offense like this. So
I also saw a tweet that said that was the most snaps under center Patrick Mahomes has ever taken in a game in the NFL. So I think that's just a sign that, you know, this coaching staff, obviously it's Andy Reid, they're going to figure some stuff out. They're going to eventually give you different looks. And so I think we are seeing that. I'm just interested to see what happens when they do face another team that's just going to go all in on too high against them. I expect they're going to be better than they were. I don't expect us to suddenly see games like this Sunday consistently like we have the last couple of years. I do think they're going to struggle to put up, you know, 40 points most weeks, but it's a good sign. And they're in first place.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, it was like, oh man, where are the Chiefs going to be? Can they come back out of this hole? They're already out of it. So
yep. With some help from their friends in the AFC West.
Yeah.
Called the Chargers tripping over their own feet.
But hey, look, man, it was a good show. I am happy that you were able to join me and that we could celebrate our wins together. That's right, you punk ass people. We got wins. The Giants won. The Niners won.
No one got hurt in practice this week. So yeah, win for the Giants.
If we can keep this streak going for 2 weeks, I'll accept it. But if it goes longer than 3 weeks, I want the Giants to lose. I'm just putting that out there. Sorry.
Okay, well, I'll take it if we get the win this week against Tom Brady and the Bucks. So I always like to beat Tom Brady.
That's true. Can you get Eli to suit up?
I mean, we're just going to have him on the Manning cast. Hopefully the jinx will be on for Brady.
Whatever, man. The Mannings are in cahoots with Tom Brady. They probably gave him the playbook. I don't trust them, man. Ever since they sat there and dissected the damn Saints, I'll never trust them.
I mean, I don't think people should trust the Mannings.
Yeah.
Watch out for those guys.
We'll be back next Tuesday. We do the shows on Tuesday now, so people can catch You Got a Minute, Fam, on Monday nights. Tuesday nights to Wednesday morning will be when we will start dropping this show. Be on the lookout for Tristan's Picks is what I'm renaming the show because my picks are not doing too well. But Joe and Keith are still doing their DFS show. So be on the lookout for that when it gets dropped as well. This is the NFL recap show for week 10, and we'll catch you guys next week.